Good job there, brother. Appreciate it. Thank you for reading the scripture. As we continue on in 1 John, this kind of chapter kind of continues in that same theme that the whole entire chapter is about itself. So just as a reminder, remember that this is written to a group of believers that tried to remain faithful to the things that they were first taught about Jesus. And they were experiencing kind of a church split. People were leaving the fellowship. People deciding to go into a different direction in their beliefs, questioning authority, questioning the things that they were taught, questioning the deity of Jesus. Now remember, those that left, they were educated Greek intellectuals, like philosophers, if you would say, right? They could not believe that a good God would inherit a bad human. They struggled to believe that God would come in bodily form. They struggled to believe that spirit would become flesh. They claimed to know God and to even believe in God and to even belong to God. Yet their spiritual insight to them seemed superior to those of the other rest of the group. And they demonstrated that by leaving the group. Now, this particular chapter also continues on. They demonstrated that they had little concept of the love that was required of them. They only had the intellectual to rely on. They only had the logical distinctions to rely on, their own logical, intellectual conclusions that they were drawn to. And so, as you can imagine, those that were left trying to remain in their faith and remain to the things that they were first taught, they felt a little bit abandoned. They felt a little bit isolated, confused, maybe questioning a lot of things themselves, which goes back to the very reason why the letter was written in the first place, for encouragement and clarification to those that were remaining. So right out of the gate in this chapter, we see a direct confrontation. We see a direct confrontation with those that hold a belief that Jesus is not God. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. So a couple things I want you to pay attention to if you're looking at the scriptures at all, right? Just to draw this out, flesh it out a little bit more, right? A couple things to draw about is kind of some of the definitions or the reading of the word. It's important to note the emphasis of the capital letter S or the small letter S. All spirits are not the same. Capital S and small s, particularly if you're reading the passage. Dear friends, do not believe every small s. Okay? There are distinctions between the two, and you could easily just read over it and get real confused. Spirit, 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 just thinking about the spirit of God or spirit of the devil or spirit of the man, and you get confused of which ones are jumping, right? There's the spirit of man, small s. There's the Holy Spirit of God, capital S. There's even the spirit of the Antichrist, small s. And there have been times, going through many commentaries and theological books, that there are oftentimes disagreements about which spirit is the S and which is the spirit. And I've disagreed with some of the analysis and certain some of the commentaries. But the reality is the small s, you, small s, must choose, small s. Our spirit must choose. Test the spirits. Our spirit makes confession. Our spirit makes repentance. Our spirit tends to wander from the Holy Spirit, capital S. Yet the Holy Spirit, capital S, himself, the Holy Spirit, capital S, testifies with our spirit, small s, that we are God's children. That's just Romans 8. We profess that Jesus is Emmanuel. Can somebody tell me, what does Emmanuel mean? There are some biblical literate people here, right? God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Our spirit proclaims, spirit became flesh and dwelt among us. And he fills us, those that would make that profession with their small s, fills us with the capital S. Okay? So, here's your first one. Here's the big test. This incarnational or incarnation denial. This is how you can recognize the capital S of God. This is how you can recognize the Holy Spirit of God. Every small s that acknowledges Jesus Christ has come in the flesh from God. There is a union of the divine and the human. There's a unity of the spiritual and the physical. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. That's what we celebrate. God with us. We celebrate Christmas. The whole world celebrates Christmas. Well, maybe not everyone. Why? Because they deny spirit became flesh. There's a denial of the divinity. There's a denial of the deity, God, capital S, becoming man. You'll have to resolve that. The letter's written to those that would say, stand true, stay true, remain in the faith of what you were first taught. Spirit became flesh and dwelt among us. Or go with the other group. There's a denial of the deity. And the strong verbiage is, there are antichrists. Antichrist, anti-Jesus, anti-church, anti-Christmas, anti, all of that, right? Living among us now. I'm not saying anything new that you don't understand, but that's the thing, that there are antichrists among us now. They will deny the incarnation of Jesus. There are spirits, small s, that reject the capital S. And their teachings can be misleading. Many false prophets among us. There are many false prophets that love Jesus, but they don't believe in his incarnation. They'll even say, they deny that he is God. They think maybe Jesus is a wise teacher, a good philosopher, a prophet, a wise man. So I have some couple simple little quotes from this wise teacher of yours. You believe in the Heavenly Father? Good. Believe also in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. Jesus. I and the Father are one. Jesus. Love your enemies. Pray for those that persecute you. Jesus. Sabbath was created for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Jesus. That doesn't sound like a good teacher. That doesn't sound like a good prophet. That doesn't even sound like a wise man. That sounds like someone speaking with authority. Someone speaking in authority. As if they were God. Forgiving sins. Only God can do that. I rest my case. So I would say this, you better put some things to the test in your small s spirit. You need to test those things that are coming from the pulpit. You better put to the test words that are coming from your friends. You can't believe every spirit that speaks at you or comes at you through the TV or social media or the politicians or coworkers or family. What do you allow into this precious mental cavity of yours? Be cautious about what you give heed to Be cautious about what advice you might take, and consider wisely the fellowship that you might attend. Have you ever walked into another church and it just felt like, oh, this is dry and lifeless and boring? It's just not going to be very good here. Anybody? Some. Or more than I care to count. Or you walk into a place and it's built for a Broadway show. It's built for the celebrities. It's built for concerts. It's not built for Jesus. More than I care to count. I've had experiences more along the line with the deeply philosophical, those that were like the Greek intellectuals. Everything is so cerebral. Everything's got to be logical and intellectual. Countless hours of talking and talking and talking and talking. There's no doing, but man, there's a lot of meetings. There's a lot of talk. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of managing and post-it notes and drawing maps, and there's all kinds of that kind of, but there's no talk of love. Only judgment. There's no talk of reconciliation amongst the body. Only excommunication. It's all religious do's and don'ts. It's the letter of the law. It's my way or the highway. And if you've ever felt such a way, it's a testimony of the capital S. Alive and well. Giving you wisdom, giving you discernment, giving you knowledge that you may test every spirit. There's a very distinct line that is drawn here in the scriptures. Those that believe in Jesus as God that has become flesh, Merry Christmas, and those that do not. That's what he's drawing a line in the sand about. And if you have the Holy Spirit of God within you, you can trust the Holy Spirit of God to speak into your life. I know this about the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God, capital S, speaks in terms of love. Here's your next one. It's an incarnational love. Someone once wrote, you've probably even heard this before, if you love something, set it free. Right? If it comes back, it was yours and always will be yours. If it never returns, then it was never yours to begin with. Heard that kind of similar, right? I heard it a kind of a different way. I've heard it a couple different ways. One is if you set something free and it doesn't come back to you, you hunt it down and kill it. I heard that one. Anybody ever heard that one? Right. Or this one, if you love something and you set it free, but it just sits in your living room, messes up your stuff, eats your food, takes your money, and never behaves as if it's actually been set free, you either married it or gave birth to it. Love, love, love. Love is all you need. Love is all you need. Does anybody not want love? Love is what the world needs. But the world is often mixed up about what love is, what it takes to love. Everybody believes that love is important. Everybody desiring it and wanting it, hold on to that thought. We could use some more love in the world, can't we? How about be that which you desire in the world? How about be that which you desire to attract? Love is thought of as a feeling, not denying that it's a feeling, but it's more than a feeling, right? Did you ever confuse love? Maybe this goes back a ways, even when you were a teenager, right? Did you ever confuse love as a teenager or a young adult? Think that you were in love and somehow it didn't seem like it. See, our kids, they're going to confuse love. They're going to confuse what it is. They're going to confuse it for a feeling. They're going to confuse it even for their own intellectual distinctions. And they're going to come to a logical conclusion about what this mysterious thing about love is. Love is so much more than chocolates and flowers and romance. Love is holding a hand while they suffer through an illness for hours in the ER. Love is realizing their happiness is more important than your own. Love is staying up at night with a crying, teething baby, pacing the floors. And love forgives the restless nights. Love forgives the insults, forgives the wounds. Love keeps no records of wrongs. True love, I believe, takes the Holy Spirit of God. You want to know the measure of incarnational denial? Your first one, the incarnational denial? Watch them deny Jesus, but then watch them deny love. Watch them twist love. Watch them obscure it. Watch them pervert it. Watch them profit from it. And watch them challenge you in your love, in your sacrifice, in your mercy, in your forgiveness, in your grace, because that's illogical. Mercy is not logical. Grace is not logical. I'll let you think about this one. Your next slide. Can you really love God? Can you really love without God if God is love? You could write a dissertation on that one. Can you really love without God if God is love? Now think about it for a second with me. Just think with me in this. The Lord gave me this last night. We're all seeking love. We all desire it. We all want it. We all think the world would be much better with it. Is this love an instinct placed within each of us as a byproduct of being created in His image? We yearn and long for love. God is love. We yearn and long for God. And yet many people don't even know it. They're blind to it. They don't see it. They see something different. God is different than love. And God is love. And you've been created in such a way as to seek it. I'm sorry, seek Him. Everybody will, and everybody does. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And since God so loved us, we ought to do what? Love one another. This is a characteristic, an attribute of the very existence and creation of who God is, and you're created in His image. You can't even help yourself. You desire it because God created you that way. God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. This text, all about love, true love, the real thing. This is love in action, more than talk, more than think, more than romantic feelings and stuffed animals and roses. The scriptures give us a charge here, and so you have to ask yourself, is this a charge, is this a command, or is this a suggestion? This kind of love that we're talking about, and this is the one I had you create, Miss Jody, is an incarnational approach. This is an incarnational approach. So what does that even mean? Flesh can't do it. Flesh can't do it. You can't do it. You'll get love wrong. You can't do it. Not in your small s, but the capital S. He can do it. God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. And it will take you a lifetime to navigate it. It will take you a lifetime to prove it. The kind of love is divine. It cannot be the product of the flesh. This love requires a sacrifice that is greater than the will of man. The love that demonstrates itself is through the Holy Spirit, capital S of God. God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. There's your next slide. See, the flesh falls short of divine love. You have a sense of it. You'll desire it. You'll pursue it. It'll never be complete without God. He designed you to pursue it. He designed you to seek it. He does, just like God, seek me, and you will find all that you desire to complete who you are. Without me, go with the rest of the world. Define it however you like. Pursue it however you like, and you will fall short. I created you to be complete in me. Here's that incarnational thing again, spirit with the flesh. And this time it's in us. God lives in us. Now, is that just a metaphor? Or does the Holy Spirit of God mark you? Does the Holy Spirit of God dwell within you? Does the Holy Spirit of God teach you? The Holy Spirit of God guide you? The Holy Spirit of God leads you? Jesus ascended so that the Spirit could descend. The curtain has been torn, and God is available to Jew and Gentile. He's not hiding behind a door anymore, locked in a room. He's open, and where the wind blows, you do not know. But he's open to receive. Let it blow upon me, Lord. Does the Holy Spirit enable you to love with the love of God? And can you love with the love of God if you don't know God? Can you love with the love of God if you don't have the Holy Spirit of God? Because God is in you and makes his love complete in you. You are the embodiment, the personification, the manifestation of the love of Jesus. The church, the body of Christ. The manifestation, personification, embodiment, if you will, of the love of Christ to a lost, dark, lonely, misguided world. I do not think that you can love with godly love if you do not have the Holy Spirit of God. You can have a form of it, romance, sex, affection, flowers, chocolate. Love requires so much more than feeling. It requires so much more. Sacrifice, so much more than it feels good to be around you. This is real love. I know it's real love. Jesus, did it feel good to go to the cross? Did it feel good to take a beating? Jesus, did it feel good to get humiliated and punched and whipped for me? Did it feel good? What kind of display of love is that? God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave. No one took Jesus' life. He gave it. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Dear friends, let us love one another. Love comes from God. A new command, this is John 13, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our... This is the charge, it's not the threat. Last week was, we are not under God's condemnation. We're under God's command. This is the command for a better way of life. This is the command for finding true love. This is the command for living a life that pleases God. This is the command for the living a life like Jesus, to display the love of Jesus, to let your light shine. Here's your next slide, by the way. I'll tell you a little story about Benjamin Franklin. Anybody know who Benjamin Franklin is? Yeah, I want to see him some more in my wallet. Give me some Benjamins. Benjamin Franklin. So when Benjamin Franklin wished to interest the people of Philadelphia in street lighting, you know what lighting up the streets, like put street lights on the corners? He didn't try to persuade them by talking about it or forming a committee or sending out flyers. He didn't do anything like that. Instead, he hung a beautiful lantern on a long bracket outside his own door. Just a nice little lantern outside his front door. And he kept the glass brightly polished, and he carefully hung it out every evening at dusk. People wandering in the dark streets of Philadelphia would see the light, and they would be gravitated towards it. And they would just hang out under the soft influence or the glow of the light. They would gather under it, talk about it. Friends would come and chat. It wasn't long before Franklin's neighbors began putting out their own lanterns in their own house, by where they walked, by the street corners where they would hang out. And soon the entire city began to see the value of streetlights, and they took up the matter with enthusiasm. It's always a strong motivation for doing the right thing in life. It's always a strong motivation for that. But how do you do that? The Lord gives us the best examples of all. Do you love your spouse? Prove it. You love your kids? Prove it. Do you love God? Prove it. Oh, Pastor, I love everybody. I just love everybody. There's some people I love to be around, and there's some people I love to avoid. I love everybody. There's some people I love to have dinner with, and there's some people I'd love to punch in the face, but I love everybody. Now, I want you to be able to try. Hopefully, you can grab hold of this one. If you can grab hold of this philanthropic idea, I think we'll live lives that are pretty fulfilled and pretty satisfying. I think if we can operate in this kind of an approach to life, you'll be able to recognize that your life isn't just about you. It's not just what God wants to do in you, it's about what God wants to do through you. And this is an incarnational gift. Here's your next one. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is this incarnational gift of love. The idea is that this love that you have received from God is a great gift. Do you receive the gift? Do you receive it? Do you accept it? I pray you receive it, and I pray you accept it. It completes you. It's not just that instinctual thing that you were created for in the image of God, but it completes you to find and be able to complete the ability to accomplish what God is asking of you. See, the gift that you receive from God, the love, that love, give it away as a gift. It's a gift that you've received, and it's a gift that you give away. They don't often deserve it. They don't deserve it. This is an altruistic love. The gift given, expecting nothing in return. See, this makes you a spiritual philanthropist. See, philanthropy is not just about the generosity of your money. It's about being a spiritual philanthropist. It's about the generosity of your patience. I give a gift of patience to people who drive me crazy. It's about the generosity of your kindness. It's about the generosity of your goodwill, your compassion, your care. It's about the generosity of your money and your time. You're a spiritual philanthropist in this way. And this is a far cry from what the world would define as altruistic or philanthropic, or a far cry from what they would call love. I will love you if you love me back. I will love you if you perform well. I will love you if you behave properly. I will love you if you act a certain way, vote a certain way, dress a certain way. And if you don't, then I just hate. That's the ways of the world. We need to walk in the ways of God. And we can only do that with the Holy Spirit of God. Here's your next one. This is going to be back to the test every spirit. To love the unlovable will be your test and your task. To forgive when it's difficult. To have mercy when they don't deserve it. To express kindness in the face of rage. To reclaim calm. To remain calm in the midst of chaos. See, it's no coincidence, I don't feel, that trying to define love is like trying to define God. Extremely difficult, if not impossible. There's a supernatural component to love, more than a feeling. And John made it pretty clear. If you don't love, then you don't know God. Within our own lives, we'll have the capacity to create love, or we'll have the capacity to create destruction. We can, in a moment, create havoc or create calmness. You have the ability and you have the power. You know exactly sometimes what it would take to make somebody angry, but you don't. You know sometimes the things to do, the things to say. You know exactly what buttons to push. If you've been in relationship with anyone for a long period of time, you'll know what can hurt them, what can cause them to cry, and what kind of grief could bring up. And oftentimes, in your flesh, you will want to inflict pain. You will want revenge. It seems justifiable that I retaliate. It seems justifiable in my own mind to hurt that person that hurt me. Is that divine love? Test the spirit, small s, concerning the ways of love. You have the capacity to create love. Why would you ever be without it? You have the capacity to walk in the presence of the Holy Spirit, capital S, God. Why would you ever want to be without him? You have the capacity to walk in that light always, every moment, all day. Why would you choose anything else? It's the flesh that tends to wander and want the ways of the world and thinking that that looks good and that's enticing. If you have the power and the capacity and the ability and the desire, why would you not work to create places of love? And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that very incarnational presence of God, and God is love, where can you go where He is not? The love that changes hearts, the love that changes minds, it's a love that reaffirms faith, it's a love that pushes past feelings and past hate and past behavior. It creates love in sometimes the most darkest of environments. And love explains why God creates, because He loves. Love explains why God cares, because He loves. Why does He forgive? Because He loves. Why does He have mercy? Because He loves. Why does He have grace? Because He loves. Why is He slow to anger? Because He loves. Do you love with a divine love? And love explains why we're free to choose. Because He loves. Love explains why Christ would die for you, because He loves. Love explains eternal life, a love for you that is never ending. This is the love we seek, as we were created to. The love to display in our own lives and to offer as a gift to others. It takes divine love to do that. I pray we have that kind of love. Let me pray for you. Father, in this place, this moment, this day, I just thank You so very much for the way in which You can minister into our own hearts and our own minds. Thank You for Your word that is alive and vibrant. I thank You, Father, that You would continue to work in our lives, continue to guide us and teach us and inspire us. Father, I would pray that Your Holy Spirit shines brightly through each and every one of us, that the world may see the love of God in us and through us, that we might bring You honor and glory. In the name of Your Son, amen. God bless you guys.
Amen. This little light of mine, may it shine, shine, shine through the name of Jesus. I think we were taught quite a bit about love this morning. Amen. Now we just need to exercise it, maybe even more so than we ever have before in our life. Let God search us. Father, we want to give You the praise and the glory for who You are and all that You are. Father, we are so thankful that You have shown the world what true love is by giving such a wonderful sacrifice, Your only begotten Son. And Jesus, we're so thankful that You were obedient to the Father, showing how much You loved. May we just be able to exercise that love that You have demonstrated to others. And Father, right now we have this opportunity to give as You have blessed us. Father, may it be used wisely. Father, that we could use it for Your glory, some way, somehow, let that light shine, teach, preach the glory of God, the love of God. Let it reach out into our community and to those who are listening in. Father, we just give You the praise and the glory. May You bless this offering in Jesus' precious name. Amen.